We're going to start with this. Take a look at your notes. I also have only one bar in my battery, so you know, what can I do? Take a look at your notes. We're going to begin with this point. Saints are sinners. So we all know that. We're going to have a little audience participation today. So I know you got an extra hour of sleep, but we want to make sure that you stay awake. So raise your hand if you are a sinner. We established that. Good. Raise your hand if you're a saint. There you go. Good, good. Everybody should have raised their hand twice. We are sinners and we are saints. I want to talk a little bit about a famous saint this morning. How many of you have heard of Saint Francis? Anybody? Saint Francis of Assisi? Okay. Saint Francis was buried in my rose garden in front of my house. When we moved to Crystal Lake, you know, I guess that's a realtor thing, right? He was upside down. He's not there anymore. I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know, maybe the realtor, do they get them after they're done? Oh, and they pull them out? Oh, poor Francis, I mean, you know, where's his place? I don't know. Did you know, of course, St. Francis, he's known, the patron saint of animals, and you often see him with a statue with all kinds of, you know, like bunnies and squirrels and things like that. But St. Francis wasn't always so nice. In fact, sometimes he was really nasty. I want to tell you a story again. I don't know if it's true. I saw this in Christianity Today. I mean, that's a pretty good source. You think that's got to be true, right? So, St. Francis evidently had an aversion to money. And by that I mean that he was one of these guys, he didn't say that, you know, money is a tool, money is a blessing. Just don't get too attached to it. Not like that, but he said, don't ever touch money. Period. Don't ever touch money. And so one day, in those days, instead of passing the plate like we're going to do here in a few minutes, people would make their offering and they would take their money, in this case a coin, and they would take it to the base of the cross and they would just pile it up here. So someone did that. They put a coin there, and one of the friars, so one of the priests who worked at St. Mary's Church, saw the coin and they knew that St. Francis hated money. And so he took it, he just picked it up, and it was in one of those old cathedrals, so there were windows here on the side, and he just threw it over there. You know, couldn't throw it out the window, but just kind of get rid of it. And so it landed on the windowsill. Well, Francis heard about it, and he was mad. I mean, he was really, really angry. And so now, instead of just going up to, you know, the monk and saying, no, brother, we have a little disagreement on how we treat money, let's hug and, you know, agree to disagree and sing kumbaya, he didn't do that. He grabbed the monk by his ear and he dragged him behind the altar and he commanded him to pick up the coin with his lips. And then he dragged him outside and he said, see that pile of donkey dung? I want you to deposit the coin nose first into the pile. Now, does that sound like a nice guy? Does that sound like a saint? It sounds kind of nasty, right? So the question, how could a saint be so nasty? Well, let's think about that. Do you know anybody in the Bible that sinned? There's a few. What about King David, a man after God's own heart, surely a saint? Anybody want to name a couple of his crimes? King David, let's see, murdered someone. Right? Committed adultery, lied about it. What about Abraham, one of the patriarchs? Married his sister, by the way, against the law at that time. Did it anyways. Lied about it. Couple of times. What about King Solomon? Wisest man who ever lived. Had 1,000 wives. That didn't work out so well for him either. New Testament, Peter. Denied the Lord. Paul. Killed the saints. Anybody sinners in the group? Yes. How about in our own history? Now, I want to protect the guilty, so I won't name anyone in this church. All right? But I have been in other churches where there have been some sinners. I'm telling you. My first church, I was an intern, so I'm a vicar. My brother is the bishop, so kind of like St. Francis, although not nearly so nasty. He's trying to bring everybody together. We have a disagreement in the church among the most saintly of all, the altar guild. So altar guild ladies, I'm not trying to offend you, but you know, this happens in some churches. This was a new church. It's a poor church. You know, we can't get the beautiful bouquets of flowers that we have every week up here. So the ladies would go out in the summertime, they would cut wildflowers, put them on the altar. Sounds like a good thing to do. But in the winter, even in Arkansas where we were, not that many flowers. So they would get plastic flowers. This is against the Altar Guild Bible. You can't do this. So my brother got the ladies to gather. We had a meeting, a come to Jesus meeting here. And he's reading through the Bible, talking about the unity of the saints. Romans chapter 12, we're all part of the body. And I thought it was such a wonderful devotion, I was going to be raptured at the moment. Great message. My heart is soaring with pride. And one lady stands up and she says, Pastor, that may work fine in the church, but this is the real world. I'm like, what? Can saints be nasty? Are we sinners? We are. And so, saints, definition, are simply sinners connected to Jesus. By our faith, which God has given to us as a gift. And when we aren't so nice, and we don't do things quite right, we are forgiven. Just as we were this morning when you offered up your own confession. And that, my friends, is why we are blessed. We are called blessed. Not because of our virtue, not because of our holiness, not because our character is so great, but simply because God's mercy is indeed so great. It covers all of our sins, washes them away. And so we claim our sainthood solely by faith. Now, I want to point out a couple of things this morning. I know as Christians, we read the Beatitudes. It's a beloved part of Scripture. Put that up there, Matthew chapter 5, if you would, Mark. And we're going to review just a little bit of it again. It begins in verse 1. This is Jesus. It says, he opened his mouth. He taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, who's he talking to when he says, not only the Beatitudes, but the entire Sermon on the Mount? It's not just a crowd of people, but the disciples. So, people like us. We have to understand he's talking to the disciples, not to the crowd. And I say this because so often people misunderstand the Beatitudes, and they think that he's talking to the crowd to tell them how to be disciples. And so often, even as believers, we think that the Beatitudes are things to do. You know, here's our list. Here's your laundry list. If you just do all these things, then you will be blessed. Go ahead and put the notes back up there if you would. So, the Beatitudes are not things to do in order to be blessed, but rather, we as disciples, we as saints, we are blessed, so that we can begin to do the list of things there in the Beatitudes. Now, to understand it, let's use the analogy of a gift. Where does a gift usually come from? If I'm going to give you a gift, Ethan, it comes from me, to you, right? Right? It's outside of ourselves. So, it's a gift. Take a look at just a couple of these. Baptism. Most of us came to be called children of God through our baptism. So we have our baptism. How many of you were baptized as children? Anybody baptized as children? Most of us. I was too. Did you crawl up to the font all by yourself? Did you drive yourself to church that day? Did you decide that you were going to go be baptized? Probably not. Now, as an adult, maybe so. But as a child, it was who? Our parents or godparents or grandparents. Someone brought us. It is a gift outside of ourselves. So nothing we did in baptism did we do to earn our salvation. Similarly, as a saint, we did nothing to earn our sainthood. It is a gift of God to us. We did nothing to be born. How many of you chose your parents? Anybody? Did you choose your parents? No, it doesn't work that way, does it? No. Nor to be born again. So this is what we want to emphasize this morning. The Beatitudes are stating what God has done for us. Let's take a look again, Mark, if you would put those up there. We're just going to look at a few. We can't look at all of them this morning, but beginning with the first one, we were poor in what? Somebody say it. We were poor in spirit, not just poor. So often we misunderstand. We think, well, God wants us to be poor. It says, blessed are the poor. What's the next two words? In spirit. All blessings come from God. This is the condition. And what do we receive? It says there in the verse, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How do we enter the kingdom of heaven? Through forgiveness. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is going to be the kingdom of heaven. There in your notes, it says we were what? Lost sheep, right? Who were, what happens to the lost sheep in the parable? They are found. What do lost sheep do? Kind of wander around, get in trouble, get hungry, sometimes fall off a cliff, break a leg, die, all bad stuff, right? Do the lost sheep find the shepherd? Generally not. Did we find God? No. God has found. We were lost. We were wandering, and it was going to lead to our eternal death, and then God has rescued us. So we were the lost sheep. That was our condition, and we are blessed in that we are found. What about the lowly, the meek? We love that one as Christians. You know, you got to be meek. You know, the be attitudes. That should be your attitude. Be meek. Be lowly. But it's talking about a condition. Someone, where is God besides right here? Where else is God? He's in heaven, right? Where are we? Are we in heaven? No, we're not in heaven. We're here. Where is it? Down below. Finish this sentence. God is God and we are not. Anybody? Anybody hear God? Maybe in your household, but you're not really God, no. God is God, you are not. God is in heaven, you are not. God is there, and you are not. We were lowly. That is what it means to be meek, to recognize we're not God, and we had absolutely nothing to do with our salvation. And so eventually, we will inherit the earth. Now, let's understand this. In the beginning, God what? Created what? The heavens and the earth. Where did Adam and Eve live? Anybody? Garden of Eden. What was that like? Was that kind of a dump? No, it's paradise. It's paradise. At the end of time, Jesus returns. And the Bible says that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. If God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, I'm betting it's going to be a whole lot like the first one, which was perfect. The lowly, the meek, those who recognize that we are not God, we did absolutely nothing to earn our salvation, we are the ones who will be part of the kingdom of heaven and will inherit the new earth. Finally, just one more here as we go through this little Bible study. We were comforted over our sin. Now, I understand today is All Saints Sunday. And in a few moments, we're going to read the names of those who are members here at Emmanuel, saints, just like you, but who have departed to go to heaven over the last 12 months. And for some of you, that's going to be a very challenging time, a difficult time, because you knew those people. Or if we don't name a name of someone you knew very closely, it's going to remind you of someone you did, that grandma, that grandfather, that mother, that father, that spouse that has also departed. One of the great things about a Christian funeral is that it brings comfort. We do not mourn as other people, the Bible says, because we know that our loved ones, because of the gift of faith, are now with the Lord in heaven. And that is a great consolation to us. But this verse also says that we are comforted now, even before a loved one dies. And we are comforted over our sin. Because it was sin that kept us out of the kingdom. It was sin that made us an enemy of God. And the good news, as Pastor Bob had proclaimed to you at the beginning of the service again, is whenever we make that confession, God forgives. In fact, even before it comes out of our lips, as we recognize this barrier of sin between us and God, it is forgiven. And that is the comfort of the gospel. Sainthood, then, is it's not what we achieve. It's not about our works. It's not about our godliness. It's a calling. God has called us, and he's done so for specific reasons. If you went through the rest of the Beatitudes, it's all about receiving something for what purpose? To give, then, just as God gave us gifts, we then give those gifts to others. So, why do we receive mercy? So we can give it away. Why do we receive peace? So we can be peacemakers. Why do we have joy? So we can share it with others. Why are we loved? So we can love others. We are blessed so that we can live a transformed life. What was the name of that? Someone did a sermon series not too long ago. What was that called? Anybody? Transformed! What a great name, transformed. We're transformed so that we can share that life with others. Now, I hope you'll read the rest of the next steps. Do you ever do that? You know, we have the sermon notes, you fill in the blanks. Do you ever go to the next steps? You should. You should. One of them is to reread the Beatitudes. And then read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. And you'll find that we are to be salt and light. Does anybody here like mashed potatoes? Anybody mashed potatoes? I love mashed potatoes. Thanksgiving's coming up. I like salt on them. It's not good for me, but I like them, right? And butter. Got to have butter. Butter's good, right? Right. It gives flavor. That's what you're here for, my friend. You're here to be salt and light, to make this earth a better place, a better place. And it's not just with your kind deeds. I mean, these 95 acts of kindness are wonderful. I hope you're doing those. But it's far more than that. All of the names of the saints that we're going to list not only made the world a better place, but they witnessed to the presence of Christ in their life. And that's why they're now in heaven, because Christ was in their life. There's a saying that's going around the church. It's been for a couple of years now. I don't know where it started or who started it. I was really surprised the first time when I asked someone, you know, after church, how are you? Good, fine, you know, the usual. How are you? Someone said, blessed by the Lord. What a great answer. I'm blessed by the Lord. And finally, my friends, we are all blessed. We are blessed by the Lord. We are included as his children. We are forgiven. We're no longer an enemy, but a child of God. And the greatest blessing that we can share with anyone else is the chance to change their eternal destiny. You know, someday we're all going to be in heaven. Someday, our name's going to be read in a service like this, and the bell's going to chime. And when you're sitting there in the halls of heaven, wouldn't it be great? I know you. I know you. I know you. Wow. And to have some small amount of influence on their eternal destiny. Because you did what a saint does. You shared the presence of Christ. May God grant that to all of us. Always for Jesus' sake. Amen.